and local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
Hey, thanks for joining the second hour of the show today. 10 to noon every weekday, it's the Monica J Show here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Answer today's poll question at 991fmtalk.com. Should students be required to use data-gathering digital apps in school? And schools don't even know, parents don't even know what are in all these apps. It's just your kids being used as guinea pigs. It's all data mining. And you're not even allowed to know what they're mining, what the results are, what information they have. No, you're not allowed to know. Yesterday's poll question, who do you think will win the 2020 Nevada Democrat caucuses here? Well, 54% went pretty much for Sanders and 20% for Buttigieg. There's a few others down there, but Biden and Bloomberg way down here. Warren didn't even show up on the list, so there you go. Yang, you probably heard this from yesterday. Yang, out of the running now. He's suspended his campaign. So that's too bad because he actually did have some ideas that he wanted to talk about, unlike Steyer, who didn't even make the list, who is going to be having a talk tonight. He spoke in Gardnerville yesterday, and people were coming away from it. Oh, he's such a down-to-earth guy. He's so personable. And yeah. Talk to the people up in Glenbrook where he has a house. See how personable he is and how, you know, down to earth. Find out the real story from the neighbors. It is your show, 884-9910. So let's go to the phone lines and check in with Chris this morning. Chris, you're at the DMV?
Oh, yeah. I've been here since about 8:30 this morning. And get this, I'm only here for an address change. So I've been spending 8:30 to, 11? That's almost 3 hours. And it's still like, I got a bunch of people ahead of me, and the people, they got one person doing my specific kind of like what I need to do. And so it's taking 20 minutes per person. And while I was sitting in there, I was on Twitter, and I noticed that Sizzlak has been touting that they've been working hard on cutting the wait times, it's obviously not working. It's not true, you know?
Yeah, you can say anything you want. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. So which DMV are you in?
I'm in the one in Carson, which, you know, is supposed to be the better one. I'm literally here right now. So I figured I'd give you a call while I'm waiting.
Wow. I am so sorry to hear that. And I mean, are other lines moving through?
Yeah, but they do this thing where they have, like, so, for example, mine is G, and then it's the number, then they have an A, and then there's an H. So they're calling everybody except for, like, my letter.
Wow.
And I went up and asked, and I'm like, so how come you guys aren't calling up these numbers? And they're like, well, there's these two over here, and then, like, one of the ladies disappears for, like, 30 minutes.
Oh, yes, you have to take mandated breaks. It doesn't matter how many people are in line. You have to take your breaks by rules or the DMV will get in trouble.
Right.
Yeah. So being a client or being somebody in there, to hell with you.
Right.
I am so sorry to hear that, Chris, but stick it out. And I want a text or something from you later of how long from beginning to end, how long it actually took you once you get out of there.
All right, I'll send you an email.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
You too. It's your show. Whatever you want to call and give people the information about. Because how do you like that? Sisolak saying one thing, and yet it's not really true for everything. They take these statistics that, oh, yeah, all these people got through in 20 minutes. Yeah, but what about that other line that is there for 3 or 4 hours? You're not really improving the system. And speaking of improving the system, how do you fix something locally when it's a national issue? Yeah, a national issue. The education system as a whole is broken. Big time. People are writing books about it. I say you got to go back and you got to read. Take suggestions from people. There is a group out there called American Thought Leaders, and it's with the Epic Times. You should really subscribe to the Epic Times, because it is a newspaper that when others are failing, this one is picking up steam because it's giving you actually the in-depth stories and the truth of what people need to know. So I'm going to give you just a little snippet here. As they sat down with author Alex Newman, he just penned a book. It's called Crimes of the Educators: How Utopians Are Using Government Schools to Destroy America's Children. And I spoke about this a week ago. I can't remember. We talk about so many different things. This is the progressive agenda to dumb down America's children. My husband and I have watched this for literally 20 years. We look at each other every time we see something, and it's like, it's the dumbing down of society. Dumbing down of society. And look at where we are now. But just give a few minutes to listen to what Alex has to say.
I think we should be worried about the entire educational system, not just what's going on there. If you look at the people who created it, almost to a man, they all told us what their agenda was. It was to turn the children into little socialists, little communists, little humanists, and away from traditional American values, biblical morality, and these really cornerstones of what America was founded on. And so I think the entire edifice is a threat to our freedom, to our nation, to our children, to our families. And when you look at what's happening there now, I think it's becoming even more clear to people. They're bringing in the LGBT indoctrination. They're bringing in the drag queen story hours. The stuff that's going on in the public schools today, I think, would shock even the most liberal, progressive parent. Half of the kids graduating can't even read. That's according to the government's own data. 50% of American adults now are illiterate. This is mind-blowing, right?
Wait, how many percent of American adults are illiterate?
50%. In 1993, the federal government did a literacy study, and they categorized Americans into five categories. One being completely and totally illiterate, couldn't read a stop sign to save your life. Two being, basically a functionally literate. Five being a good reader. Half of Americans were in the bottom two categories.
This isn't something that's new. This is something that has been going on for decades. Why do we have homeless? Why do we have vagrancy? Why do we have drug addicts? Because they've been failed. They can't succeed. Why do you think that so many people talk about just getting rid of the Department of Education? It has to be done. You have to elect people that are willing to do that, that are willing to take that stand. That's why President Trump is so hated. He's willing to do that. He's willing to take that stand. He didn't do that this term because he knew that that would keep him from a second term. He's got to get that second term to get all of this done. You have to educate your children. You have to educate your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews. buy a book, read a book, and understand how this is going on. I'm going to take this break a little bit early because I have a responsibility to you, to us, to bring you information that is being kept from you. Not to cause panic or anything like that, but to bring you information that social media is holding back. And you should know what it is. Because it's life and death, and it's your future. So I hope you stick around, but we'll be back on the Monica Jay Show, your show, right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Right now, there is only one radio station talking about what's going on in Northern Nevada, live and local, right now. 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show, and why is my name on it? Because I stand behind what I say. Sometimes I'm wrong, and I do need to be re-educated in certain things. But that's the point. We're all learning together. We're all sharing our stories. We're trying to grow and to gather information. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk is live and local for you because your voice has to be heard. We have social media now. And it's gotten to the point where somebody makes a video about Nancy Pelosi tearing up the State of the Union and the president speaking of the different guests in the gallery, and she's ripping it up. She wants it taken off. She wants it removed from social media. She wants Twitter and Facebook and these people to step up and say, get rid of that. You know, that's kind of the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Yet she wants to control the narrative with social media. So I find it interesting that this post, as we go back to talking about China and Russia and Iran, talk about an axis of evil there, why this can only be shared through Messenger. You have to personally send it to someone because, well, Facebook finds it on a page and gets rid of it, blocks it. What could be so devastating that social media doesn't want you to hear this?
About the biggest and the most important story in the world, the Wuhan coronavirus. This coronavirus is a catastrophe on the scale of Chernobyl for China, but actually it's probably worse than Chernobyl, which was localized in its effect. The coronavirus could result in a global pandemic. While you were all sleeping overnight, the number of diagnosed cases in China increased by 30%. Now, let me be clear, that's not new cases, that is just newly admitted cases. It is probably several orders of magnitude higher than that. Also, while you were sleeping, China now has its entire border with Russia closed. 2,600 miles Russia has closed that border. El Al has shut down travel between Israel and China. Air France has shut down travel between China and France. And that's in addition to all the other countries that have already shut down travel. From what we know so far, and there's still many unknowns, this virus could have both a long incubation period, as much as 14 days, and individuals could be contagious while asymptomatic, which was not the case with SARS in 2003. Furthermore, from some cases, it appears the virus could be aerosolized, which means it doesn't require the kind of contact that you have with, say, a married couple kissing each other or a family living in close quarters in a hotel or apartment, but rather the distances we are all sitting apart right now. Yet China is still lying about all of this. They've been lying about it from the very beginning, and you don't need their history of lying about SARS in 2003, though it is relevant here. You just have to see what's happened over the last 2 months. We now know that the first case manifested no later than December 1, even though China didn't reveal it to the WHO until a month later on December 31st, when they continued.
You know who that is?
Their own citizens, and they continued to say that.
Why aren't we allowing that on Facebook? You know who that is? Senator Tom Cotton. That's the U.S. government. Senator Tom Cotton speaking with military generals of different areas to know if their areas like Djibouti and places like that can, well, ward off or hold off this disease that is going around. Why wouldn't something like that be allowed on social media? From Daily Wire, as I've mentioned before, that's one of my sources. This came out yesterday. I want you to think about this after what you just heard there from Cotton. Suitcase full of dead birds from China intercepted at Virginia Airport. Did you hear me right on that? A suitcase was sent from China that is currently dealing with the coronavirus that has 400 million people quarantined because of this? We intercept a suitcase full of dead birds. And it wasn't just that, you know, they had a bunch of dead birds in there and they were seen. No. They were actually in a package, a container that was supposed to look like, well, just a bag of cat food. So it wasn't just trying to get it in. It was hidden. It was being smuggled. If you look things up for yourself, Wuhan is right next to China's biological and chemical warfare center. What do you think about that? And don't give me this, oh, you're just trying to spread panic, the flu kills more people, blah, blah, blah. What if, and just what if, this was a test on their own people because, well, China, yeah, they do that. Communist China, by the way. They have no qualms killing their own people. What if it got out of hand? What if it was a biological weapon that they now can't control? So they're trying to keep it covered up. Why is there also a video out there circulating? Oh, it's staged. It's, you know, somebody, Black Ops, is putting that out. why there is a woman being dragged out of her car, kicking and screaming, who was trying to leave a quarantined area, taken out by a bunch of people in yellow security vests, and then somebody dressed in black tries to control the situation, and the woman has to be moved because, well, she seems to be lifeless. Are they killing people to keep this contained? To keep it quiet? To keep people in other countries subdued that, oh, the flu is worse. Go get your flu shot. Or could we be expecting, anticipating something bigger coming down the line? Tell you how to protect yourself coming up after this Fox News break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. 884-9910. Or Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Thank you so much for the emails today and the information that I get to pass on. People used to make fun of me because I was so enthusiastic about firearms. Going to friends of NRA dinners, winning firearms, buying firearms. Ammunition. You know, I have a gas mask. I have two of them, actually. And replacement filters. I have water at my house. And freeze-dried food. Am I a proverbial prepper? No. I wouldn't say so. Because I don't go crazy for it. I don't prophesize that there is going to be an end of the world and it's going to be an EMP or terrorists. I just know that at any time, something could happen. We could have an earthquake. We could have a shutdown of communications. And my belief is that you shouldn't have to rely on other people. It's how I live my life. I don't rely on other people to pay my bills. I don't rely, well, actually, that's a lie. I depend on my husband to pay my bills, but I don't rely on people for my education. I don't rely on others for help. The government has turned everybody to reliance. I know a lot of people just turned the dial and went away and said, oh, this is crazy talk. Tell that to the people in Venezuela. Tell that to the people in Cuba. Tell that to the 400 million quarantined in China. People think that stuff like that doesn't happen in America, can't happen in America. We'll never be a communist country. We already are, just not officially. The government has control of every single thing you do. from your communications, your electricity, the education of your children, yada, yada, yada. The cars you're allowed to drive, the things you're allowed to buy, the things you're allowed to eat, the books you're allowed to read. Who you are forced to recognize. Just saying. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Jane this morning. Hi, Jane. You want to talk about firearms?
Yes, about what's happening with gun owners' rights. In October, I had contacted you and advised you that the case of Anderson v. 8th Judicial District Court, that's in Clark County, and the Nevada Supreme Court decided that domestic violence charges are to be dropped from all cases unless the person who's being charged with domestic violence is heard in the district court and gets a right to a jury trial because he or she will have their firearms taken from them. And that needs to be decided by a jury of their peers. What also happened in October is KNPR published a report in their Desert Companion magazine, and it's entitled Family Circus. And the author interviewed an attorney who works in the family courthouse, and she is contracted to work there. Her employer is actually not Clark County, which staffs the Clark County Courthouse. But she is a contracted attorney who brought to the attention of the chief judge, who oversees the administrative duties of a courthouse, and said that each time a person files for a protection order due to domestic violence, at the same time that the person is filing the form to get a protection order, simultaneously the father, or if it's a husband and father, is alerted immediately that a protection order is being filed, which gives the father enough time to go to the school and kidnap the children or go to the home and do whatever damage he needs to do. And when this attorney found this out, she attempted to get this changed, but she is only in a small part of the courthouse. The domestic violence part did not get changed. So just imagine that you're filing a document and to get a protection from your husband and for your children against their domestically violent father. And at the same time, he's being alerted wherever he is. He's getting a text on his cell phone. He's getting an email, however he's chosen to be alerted. And that gives him plenty of time to do whatever he needs to do. So I just wanted to let you know that's what's going on. And it's shocking.
It really is, yeah. Jane, thank you so much for the call. And that goes back into this whole thing of we are treating criminals as the victims nowadays. It goes far beyond, you know, protection orders and just domestic violence. We've seen this coming on for years. You know, somebody breaks into your home and breaks their leg, and the homeowner gets sued. It is the way, once again, we break down society. Jane, thank you so much for calling and keeping us updated on this, because we don't know things like that are going on until somebody... See, these are true whistleblowers. These are real whistleblowers, not Lieutenant Colonel Vidman, not people like that. They're not whistleblowers. They are, let's see, what were some of the terms that I've been learning from the military of what he is. You have to understand that people in power are not always working for your best interest. And we have to change that. And we can only change that by voting or taking upon ourselves to recall. Just got an email here from, who is this from? Mike. Mike, I'm so sorry. I've been trying to get this out as much as possible. The letter of intent to recall Governor Sisolak will be delivered to him this Friday. I know I said last Friday, last week, but once again, with the Secretary of State's office, things came into play and it couldn't go out. This is new. This is something that has never been done before. A governor, a sitting governor in the state of Nevada has never even been attempted to recall. So it's really basically a learning experience for the Secretary of State's office as well. Even yesterday, they were still fixing problems. But my information that I have right now, because it might change tomorrow, because some people just don't want this to happen. But as of right now, the letter of intent will be served this Friday. The petitions will be made available on Saturday. And trust me, Monday, I will start listing off every place that you can go sign the recall petition of Governor Sisolak in every single county. If you have friends in Las Vegas and Clark County, tell them where to go. Because Clark County is going to be the hardest county to get the signatures. I'm pretty sure we have the 25,000 signatures that we need here in Washoe, in Douglas. We just have to get them. We have to do it right so they can't come back and kick the petition out. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910. Continuing our conversation on education and teachers is John from Carson City. Hi, John. Thanks for calling the show.
Good morning, Monica. Great, great show. And of course, as usual, you got some guy who really doesn't want to step down and doesn't want to get knocked out. If you will go to the teachers, teachers want to teach. They do not want to do what they're doing. And education is a big business. The difference between the administrators and the unions and teachers is a vast void there. You have teachers that are motivated to teach, and they want to teach the kids, and they want to give them a good education and so forth. And I think if you could figure out a way for the parents and the teachers to get together and support teachers who are producing good students and getting good results and so forth, support those teachers, because the teachers are going to be bombarded and hustled and abused and everything else by the union leaders and even some of the management in the school districts. They will get through. My wife taught at elementary school in California for 17 years, and she was constantly bombarded by the union leaders because they said, oh, you work too hard, you make us look bad, you spend too much time after school, you do too much homework and everything else. And I supported her. Of course, I taught school too, and I also resisted the union. And she still paid her dues, but by golly, she turned out some of the best students that they've ever had come out of that school for over 18 years. She won a special award from the state of California because she would not obey what the unions were telling her to do. You have people here in the state of Nevada who are teachers who want to teach, and I've heard them talk on the radio off and on, and they are being hustled by either the management or the unions and being told that they can't do this and that and so forth and so on. The teachers, the parents have got to stand up for their teachers and say, we want you to teach. We'll do whatever it is you need us to do. Let us know what you need and help. We will help you to resist these union people and also management that does not want a good progressive, does not want a good education for their kids. So that's my two cents on that one. And thank you,
John,
for the announcement about the SARS thing. So, yeah.
John, thank you so much for the call, and God bless, and thank you so much for your wife and doing that education. Because, yeah, it's like law enforcement. They are being intimidated by the higher-ups to fall into line. And that's whatever happened to the PTA, the Parent and Teachers Association. We need to bring that back in full force, where the parents and the teachers are talking, and keep the administration and the unions out. And teachers, we've got your back. We will let people know. Parents have to know that you're being intimidated, that you're being told to be quiet, that you're being shut down. And parents, you need to be out there and speaking. Either way, the people that are supposed to be working for you is the Board of Trustees. We need to get people on the Board of Trustees that will work for the parents and the students, not the administration and the Board of Education. Betsy DeVos, you know why she was so hated when Trump put her in charge of the Department of Education? Because she already has plans to start bringing it down. That's right. Betsy DeVos wants to reduce the Department of Education's size and power. That's why she is so despised, especially by the unions. We have to let them do it. We have to bring back control to the counties of what kids are taught. Control back to the states. Government is way too big, and they have taken over an education to use it as a tool for progressivism, for liberalism, for socialism. The list goes on and on. We'll be back with more of your comments after this. Last 5 minutes of the show after we take this break. Your show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show, letting you know once again, you have to hold the elected representatives accountable. Not just Republicans, not just Democrats, independents as well. They're elected for everybody, not just their party. They're elected to make sure that Nevada is represented. You want to talk to one of those representatives? How about State Senator James Settlemyer? He's going to be speaking at the AMAC meeting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at the Carson City Senior Center on Beverly Drive. Again, it starts at 6, and I like those types of meetings because you can actually talk with him one-on-one. What is AMAC? It's the Association of Mature American Citizens. It's kind of like the conservative version of AARP. Yeah, the conservative version. The ones that are actually looking out for you, not unions and making money for themselves. For you. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910. I've only got 1 minute, but if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to give it to this man, one of the organizers of the Recall Governor Sisolak campaign. It's Barney. Are we still on track for Friday?
Monica, good morning, and yes, we are. We have everything set. We're going to be at the Capitol in Carson City at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I understand that you may be making your presence known there, which is great. We've got the petitions all made, and they're being distributed to the people that are going to be accepting signatures. So we're all set, all 17 counties.
All right. That's perfect. Yeah, I wasn't going to really announce that my presence was going to be there because I didn't want it to turn into a circus. I don't want just, everybody. No, that's okay. That's okay, Barney. I just don't want people to think that this is a rally type situation, but I will be bringing it to you live, the petition or the letter of intent delivery on Valentine's Day. Did anybody get any chocolates or anything that, you know, we could also give and maybe some flowers?
Well, I'm sure that the Secretary of State's office would appreciate it. The process is going to go to the Secretary of State's office, and we'll file the letter of intent with him. And then on Monday, the governor himself will be served.
This is just absolutely fantastic. But we can start gathering signatures before the governor gets served.
We will have everybody out in force on Saturday.
All right. Perfect. And, Barney, I gotta let you go. I'm out of time, but, I always leave my last second for you. All right. We'll catch you tomorrow. We've got more information on how we are going to recall Governor Sisolak.